Amen. Well, hey, if you guys have your Bibles tonight, open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I love the progression of those songs. I really think they just teach us what worship is. You know, as you think about just what God has done, that he has made us alive, right? I mean, he bore our sin. He paid that price. He paid that penalty. And, man, we just consider that we were dead and now we've been made alive. Man, we respond to that. And that's what that last song says. And that's what worship is. It's not just raising your hands or singing out loud or clapping or any of those things. Those are expressions of worship. And man, those are good. But really, worship is so much more than just singing. It's that saying at the end, you know, hey, I'll stand. God, my arms are high as a just expression of surrender. And God, my heart is yours. And it's just the response. That's what worship is, and that's what God wants of us, and that's what we've been talking about starting last week, just this idea that, man, we're to live our lives, offer them to God as a sacrifice of praise. Peter said, man, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to him. That's what he wants of us. And so that's what we're going to continue just walking through 1 Peter chapter 1. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this or anything like this before, but when I was a junior in high school, like 16, 17 years old, I had to go see ear, nose, and throat doctor. I had these sinus problems that anytime there was like a change in temperature, like, I mean, literally like 10 to 20 degree change in the temperature, I would just get really, really sick. And so I kept having to go back. You can imagine growing up in Mississippi, it like changes 20 degrees every day, right? I mean, just think about this week. It was freezing cold. Today it was like 70. And by the weekend, it's going to be cold again. And so I was just sick all the time. Just would get these sinus infections, couldn't breathe, I'd get these headaches. And so finally, after going to MEA and those kind of places just over and over and over again, they said, look, you got to go see somebody. You get this seen about it. So I went to the ear, nose, and throat doctor, and they did all the normal things first. You know, like when you go to the doctor, they look in your ear, up your nose, stick that thing, popsicle stick in your mouth, make you say, ah, all those kind of things. But then they said, hey, we're going to need to take a closer look. And I'm like, well, what's that mean? And he gets this spray out, right? And he sprays it up my nose, and it's this numbing spray. And it's like just really weird because, you know, when you spray stuff up your nose, then it goes down your throat if you've ever used nose spray before. And so my whole nose and my throat just goes numb. I think I'm about to choke to death here. Like you're trying to swallow and you don't know if you're swallowing or not. You're just hoping you're getting something down. And, I mean, it was just this really weird, weird feeling. And he sticks this thing up your nose and it has like this scope on the end. And so I'm looking at this TV screen and I'm seeing like he's like looking around. It's like way up there, right? And he's looking around in my sinuses and I'm like, this is weird. I can't feel a thing though, so I guess it's okay. And he pulls it out, and he says, hey, we're going to have to take a closer look. I'm like, Doc, how can you get any closer than you just were? I mean, that was intrusive enough. And he says, no, you're going to have a CAT scan and an MRI done. I don't know if you ever had to have one of those things, but they're really intimidating. Like, you go into this room, and there's this big, like, tunnel-looking thing, and they put you on this table, and they begin to, man, just roll you up into this thing, and you hear this whirling noise, and if you're claustrophobic at all, it's not pleasant. It was just scary. I mean, as a 16, 17-year-old kid, like, what in the world is going on? And I can remember, I'll never forget, coming back to see the doctor, and they get the test and everything back, and he says, hey, listen, you're going to have surgery. I'm like, Doc, I had a cold. You know, I don't know when you treat a cold with surgery, but it's just a cold. And he says, no, man, he showed me the results of the MRI. He says, look, you've got these growths, these polyps growing in your sinuses, and we got to get them out because we think they may be cancerous. And man, just as you can imagine, as a 16, 17-year-old kid, just to hear that, I mean, it was scary. I was scared to death. And some of you have just experienced that either yourself or through family members. At this time, I mean, just my life, I've had like 3 grandparents and 2 great-grandparents that I've seen die from cancer. And so I was literally just scared to death. And man, I'll never forget coming out of the surgery and, you know, just so anxious and so just scared going in at what they're going to find. But I'll never forget coming back and, you know, they cut these things out. They send them off to the lab. And I'll never forget just coming back into the doctor's office and hearing him say, hey, listen, everything's going to be okay. We got them out. We sent them off. They were benign. We think we got everything out. Just want you to know, everything's going to be okay. I mean, just those words, how comforting and how relieving at that particular time and at that stage of my life, just to hear that, hey, everything's going to be okay, And I use that now as a parent. Like, you know, Miles, my son, you guys have seen Miles. Miles runs everywhere. Like, if you've been standing out in the lobby trying to talk, Miles is probably running between you because he thinks it's fun to run in between people. He can't run around. He's got to run in between. And, man, he just runs everywhere. And so you can imagine there's a three-year-old running everywhere. At times he'll fall. He'll scrape his knee. He's, he'll be running. He'll just run into something and bump his head. And there's always this moment whenever that happens, like, what's he going to do? Like, did it hurt or not hurt? But the worst is whenever he runs and he falls and he bumps his head, and like he's trying to decide if it hurt or not. And so there's like this, he'll fall and there's like this, like 30 seconds of just silence. And you're like, oh boy, which way is it going to go? You know, he's either going to say, I'm tough, daddy, I'm okay. Or he's saying, he's going to just lose it. And sometimes after like 30 seconds, you can just see it. Like it's this expression that builds on his face. Like, oh my, that hurt. And man, his face just like turns to terror. And like he lets out this scream that is like, oh my goodness, what just happened to you? And man, there's been a couple of times that that's happened. And you're just like, oh, I can't believe this. And as a dad, I mean, your heart just goes out to him. And so when it happens, man, when I run to him, you know, it's not one of those things you're like, get up, son. That's later when he's a little bit older. All right. But you're like, you know, as a dad, you just pick him up. And man, you just hold him. You just hold him and say, hey, son, it's okay. Hey, daddy's here. Everything's going to be okay. I got you. And, you know, you're just trying to comfort him. And just kind of soothe his pain however you can. And, you know, it's this idea that, one, I just want him to know that I'm with him. I want him to know that I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be with him through his pain. But, you know, there's also this sense, because I've had a scraped knee before, or I've bumped my head before, that I just want to offer some perspective, right? Hey, Miles, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. And I know it hurts and I'm here and I got you, but man, it's going to be okay. Like, I mean, those words, right? There's some power in those words that just brings comfort. I don't know if you've ever been there before. You know, you've experienced something in your life where, man, just maybe, I don't know, you flunked a test, or you went through this bad breakup or something, and just having a friend there who was like, hey, listen, I'm going to be with you. And I know it hurts, but I want you to know I'm here. And listen, everything's going to be okay. I'm going to be with you through this. Man, that, even though like there's this pain that's very real, there's this comfort that comes, right, from this person saying, hey, I'm with you. It's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. We want those people around us. If you've, just in your job, if you've ever lost a deal or had a bad review maybe, or lost your job, it's good to have people who have been through that same experience, who can sympathize with the way that you feel. It helps if they've been there before and you know they have the experience and they can speak from a place of almost authority of saying, hey, listen, I've been there before and I know what you're feeling right now and I'm just here and it's going to be okay. There's a sense that that brings comfort. Even though your situation, your circumstances haven't changed, all that's just the same. Just having somebody with you that says, it's going to be okay, I'm with you, there's a sense that that's just comforting, right? I mean, you guys with me? Man, that just helps. Well, Peter's writing to these believers in this book. And you remember we started out several weeks ago, we were in verse 1. I mean, these are people who their circumstances are difficult. Man, they are facing just some very real suffering and persecution. In fact, in verse 1, if you remember, Peter says that they've been scattered. Okay, they have been persecuted, disenfranchised, oppressed, to the point that they've been abandoned by their families, abandoned by their communities, and many of them have actually had to leave town and to move somewhere else throughout Asia Minor, present-day Turkey, because just their suffering and their persecution, their circumstances have turned so far south that they've had to just pick up and leave. And so these were people who knew what it was like to go through bad times, to go through hard times. And man, they're just a people who is in need of some good news. And so what we've been kind of walking through these first couple of verses is that Peter is trying to give them some good news. Right? I mean, verse 2, we talked about that for a long time, that Peter says, hey, listen, guys, I know things are rough. You're scattered all throughout Asia Minor, but here's the truth. I want you to know and I want you to believe that God has chosen you, right? That you're not going through these things alone, that God knows you. In fact, you were foreknown according to the knowledge of God the Father, and God has been sanctifying you. He's been working in you. I mean, Christ shed his blood for you. You've been sprinkled by his blood. And so just know that God has chosen you, and he's trying to comfort them. And then last week, verse 3, he said, man, you've been born again. Not only has God chosen you, but he's caused us to be born again to this living hope. And again, he's trying to encourage me. He says, listen, even in the midst of your hard times, you can praise God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to him. And I'm sure there is this sense, they're like, Peter, what do you mean praise be to God? Do you know what's going on in our life? And Peter was one of them, all right? Peter was suffering this. And so he could have said, as someone who was walking through this with them, yeah, I know what it's like. I've been there. But listen, we can give God praise. And they're like, why, Peter? How can we give God praise in this? He says, listen, guys, listen to what we have. We're not going through this alone. We're not going through this by ourselves. We have this living hope. There's this living hope that lives within us. God has, we were dead. I mean, we were dead in our sins and our trespasses. We talked about that last week. But God causes us to be born again. And because of that, man, we can praise him. And so he's just beginning to lay out these reasons of why we could praise him. He's going to do that over the next several verses. But we're going to look tonight at verses 4 and 5 and just what he says in those verses. And really, it's just the ultimate, hey, listen, everything's going to be okay. I mean, that when I read that, this is what I heard Peter saying. He said, listen, everything's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Listen to why he says that. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 4. Or let's start actually in verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then here's the second benefit. He says, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so in that passage, we're just going to walk through it piece by piece. Okay? He says that we have this inheritance. Okay, and if you just study the Greek word for inheritance, it's a little bit different than our word for inheritance. We think of inheritance as what you get when somebody passes away. Well, in their understanding of inheritance, it could actually mean two things. One, it could refer to something already received. You think about the prodigal son in Luke 15. He went and asked his father for his part of the inheritance even before he had died. He had already received that. And so there was that kind of expression of the word. And then it could also be something that you are looking forward to, which is kind of what we would think. I have this inheritance that's coming from my parents or whatever, my grandparents. There's this inheritance that's been left for me. And so for Peter in this verse, part of the inheritance is verse 3. That's why we read that verse again. Part of that inheritance is this salvation that we have already received, that God has caused us, to be born again, all right? He's caused us to be born again. And so you think of salvation really in three tenses. There's this past tense part, you think of salvation like where when you put your faith in Christ and in the work of Christ, the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, you put your faith in those things. All right, Scripture says you were justified, that you were declared to be righteous. That happened, man, at the moment you did it. And so if you're a believer today, that's sometime in your past that you made that decision, that you were justified. And in that moment, you were freed from the penalty of sin. Right? The penalty of sin, Scripture tells us, is death. You've been freed from that. So there's this past tense of salvation. There's also this present tense, which we talked about in verse 2, where there's this sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. We call it sanctification. All right, where you've been, right now, God is in the process of freeing us from the power of sin. And so we've been freed from the penalty of sin, death. All right, now we have eternal life. We're being freed from the power of sin. God is sanctifying us. Hopefully, as believers, we're maturing. We're becoming more and more obedient. We've been talking about that. And so there's this present tense of salvation. And so there's this sense that we've already received part of this inheritance. But what Peter begins to allude to in verse 4 is that there's also this future tense of salvation. There's this inheritance that we haven't yet received, where we're going to be freed even from the presence of sin. And we're going to talk about that more in just a couple of weeks when we get to verse 9, that this idea that just like when Jesus came and he brought grace with him the first time, if you look at verse 13, there's this future grace that he's going to bring when he comes back again. All right, so we're going to talk more about that in a couple of weeks. But what I want us to focus on tonight are just these three words. All right, when we get to verses 4 and 5, there's these couple of words that Peter uses to describe this inheritance. And I want to just to walk through these words really quickly with you so that we can begin to sense what we have in Christ, even what we can anticipate. All right, here's what he says. Again, think of this. These are reasons to praise God. This is what God has done for us. When we think about worship, responding to God, this is what God has done. These are reasons why we can praise him. He says, first, he says this inheritance is imperishable. All right, it's imperishable. That just means that there's nothing that can corrupt or ruin it. The Greeks would have used this word to describe an army that passes through and just totally destroys a village. Okay, and so if you can just get the picture of this army that has walked through this village, and man, maybe you've seen these movies before where the army goes through and there's just death, there's destruction everywhere. It just leads to ruin and decay over time. And what Peter actually says, the literal translation of this verse is that he's saying, hey, it's not like that. And so he's trying to give us a picture. It's not like those things. It's not what our inheritance is like. It can't be taken away or ruined. It's not subject to death or decay. It's beyond the reach of change. It will endure forever. Just to give you a picture of this, okay? Say you were to inherit something. Maybe someone you knew, a family member, passed away, and they were to leave you as part of your inheritance. Say you got their house. All right, that would be pretty awesome to be given. Not that your family member passed away. That would not be awesome. But it'd be awesome to receive a house. How you got it. You guys know what I'm saying. All right. And so you get this house, and man, it's like, cool, I have a house now. But man, what you quickly find out is over time, what happens? All right, that house just begins to, depending on how old it is, it may happen really quickly. But over time, houses begin to fall apart and they begin to break down. And it just requires a lot of upkeep to keep up with this house. And so you constantly have to keep up with it because it's constantly, things are just constantly breaking and it's falling apart. That's the word. All right, he's saying our inheritance in Christ is not like that. It's not imperishable. And then the second word, he says it's undefiled, all right? Literally, that means it's unstained or unpolluted. It's in perfect condition. It can't be cheapened. And so this would be the idea of maybe you not only got the house, but you got the couch, all right? There's this sweet leather or sweet, what's that kind of microfiber suede kind of stuff, I don't know. It's some kind of nice couch, all right? And the picture is you get this couch, but what happens is, one day you're sitting on the couch and you're drinking grape juice and your dog comes and something happens, you knock your grape juice over on the couch or your Coca-Cola or whatever it is. And there's this stain now on your nicely inherited couch that you were given for free. You're like, then there's just stain. All right, that's the picture. He's saying it's not like that. It can't be defiled. It can't be stained or polluted in either way. And in the context of Scripture, right, what we know, Scripture says, is that everything in this world is corrupted, polluted by, somebody got a guess? Sin. Yeah, there we go. Everything is polluted, corrupted by sin. And he's saying, listen, our inheritance, this future inheritance, man, sin can't touch it. Okay, that's why there's no death, because there's no sin. Man, it's unpolluted. It's undefiled. And then the last word is it will not fade away. Hey, real quick, how many people got flowers yesterday? Anybody? Anybody? Nobody really wants to raise their hand. They're like, I got flowers. How many people wish they got chocolate instead of flowers? All right, anybody get chocolate? Oh, one person, don't raise that hand too high for your guy to see if he's here. He's like, I thought you wanted flowers. No, I wanted chocolate. Next time I want chocolate. All right, the word for will not fade away, it's actually the word that would have been used for flowers that wither. Okay, and so just like those flowers that some of you got yesterday, eventually they're going to kind of wither and fade away, right? It's just what happens. And, you know, like suddenly yesterday, maybe your man all of a sudden became romantic and did something nice, and that's slowly going to fade away. Like it's probably already gone today. Those flowers are going to fade away. They're going to die, and they're not going to be pretty and all that kind of stuff like they are now. That's the word that he uses here. He says, listen, your inheritance, this inheritance that we have, this future salvation, is not going to wither. It never fades away. It never loses its beauty. It's going to be just as beautiful and just as incredible and just as magnificent tomorrow as it's going to be a week from now, as it's going to be a year from now, as it's going to be 10,000 years from now. Man, it will never wither. It will never fade in any sort of way. I read this quote in one of my commentaries, and I just want you to see. It says, man, our inheritance, it's untouched by death. All right? It's unblemished, incorruptible. It's unstained by evil, undefiled. It's unimpaired by time. It will not fade away. It's composed of immortality, purity, and beauty. All right? That's what we have to look forward to. Man, that's what's coming. And so you just begin to get this sense of, even in the midst of hard times, man, God's just, Peter's just trying to say, hey, listen, y'all, everything's going to be okay. Here's what's coming. This is what we have in Christ. It's going to be okay. And he goes on, verse 5, he says, listen, it's reserved. Okay, it's not like if you've ever been somewhere, you made a reservation, you got to the hotel, and they didn't have your reservation. Man, that stinks. To put it mildly, all right? But he's saying, listen, it's reserved, it's guaranteed in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith, all right? You ever heard the phrase, once saved, always saved? Anybody ever heard that? Man, if we were reading this verse, man, my goal tonight is that you would never say that again. Okay, because I think that is, in fact, the weakest way to describe, just this sense of the security that we have in Christ. Even if you come from a Calvinist background, they use the term the perseverance of the saints, which this is a little bit better. But even when I hear that, I think, well, if we'll just persevere, man, if we'll work hard and discipline ourselves and endure, we can make it to the end and we'll be okay one day. All right, that's not it either. And that's not what Calvinists believe, but that's not it either. What Peter says in verse 5 is you don't just, you know, once saved, always saved. Somehow, magically, you're going to make it. All right, it's not even about persevering. He says, all right, you are protected. Get this. All right, your inheritance, your salvation is protected by the power of God. Let that just sink in for a little bit. Think about the power of God, that the same God who said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay, the same God who has the power to raise people from the grave, who did all of these miracles in the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's the power, all right? That's the protection that is over our salvation. And it's just this idea that, man, if you put your faith in God, and God does this just life-changing, regenerating work in our lives where you are born again, you don't just somehow make it to the end. Okay, you're not just, well, I was once saved, so I'm going to always be saved, and hallelujah. You know? That's such a weak way to state this truth. Peter says, hey, listen, you are protected by the power of God. That God's power is looking over you, watching over you, protecting you, so that it's going to come a day when Jesus comes back in the last time and he's revealed that those who are saved are going to be there because they've been protected by the power of God. That God's power, in the midst of your persecution, in the midst of a people that are being oppressed and feel probably very weak and feel like they're very vulnerable and feel like, man, just everything is coming against them. He says, listen, even though you feel weak, even though times are hard and times are tough, you can make it through this, not because you just once saved, always saved. Right? You can make it through because the power of God is watching over you and protecting you and will sustain you until you make it to the end. Man, that's so much better. I mean, that is reason to praise. That is reason for us to worship and to respond. And so, you know, if you just think about what it all means, it means, I mean, literally here Peter is saying, hey, listen, guys, I just want you to know everything's going to be okay. It's going to be okay no matter how bad things may seem or even how bad they really are. Okay, and I want to just stop just for a moment. Peter doesn't try to trivialize their pain. He doesn't try to make it seem like, oh, listen, come on, you guys, you're not really in pain. You're not really suffering. And I don't want to do that tonight. Okay, and I'm not trying to compare the suffering, the persecution we face to that these guys are facing. I don't know what your circumstances are or what caused any pain or hardship or just craziness that you may be facing. I don't want to trivialize that in any sort of way and say that pain's not real, that suffering's not real, but because you probably, it seems, and it is very real in your life. I'm not trying to say that it's not real. I'm trying to say even in the midst of that, right? Even in the midst of that, we can at least find some amount of comfort, some amount of hope, in just knowing that man, there's this light at the end of the tunnel. That God is working on our behalf in the midst of our weakness, in the midst of our struggle to hold us, to protect us, to make sure that we persevere and can make it to the end. He's holding our inheritance. It's unblemished. It's undefiled. It will not fade away. It has been reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God. Right? There's hope in that. I mean, I was just thinking, I mean, when I was praying and thinking about this passage, it's sort of like my doctor, right, that came in and said, hey, everything's going to be okay. But then I thought, you know, it's really not like that. Because it's so much better than that. It's as if my doctor had come in and said, you know what, everything's not going to be okay. Man, we have a serious problem here, and it's just spread, and you're not going to make it. It's still, even when that happens, being able to say, you know what, everything's going to be okay. Because I know that death's not the end. And I have an inheritance that's coming that's imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. And even in the midst of my struggle and weakness and hardship, whatever that may be, that I'm being protected right now by the power of God. And that's what is coming for us. And you know, you just think, what do we need to do in response to that? Peter says, really, there's only two things you can do. One is, he says, you need to have faith. Okay? That it's reserved in heaven for those who are protected by the power of God through faith. Okay, faith is this key that just unlocks the power of God in our life. And I mean, we have to be, man, just centered and grounded in this truth. Okay, you need to be reading this truth and letting it just penetrate your heart so that you can know who God is and you can know what he's done in the past and what he's promised to do for us and what he's going to do in the future, because those are things that help produce and help generate faith in our lives. You need to have faith, right? Because faith is the key that unlocks it. But the second thing he says is that, man, we got to learn to worship. Okay, we have to learn to worship. I'm not talking, all right, about singing songs. That's part of what worship is. But he says, hey, listen, he starts this whole passage off with this phrase that's the key for all the way down through verse 12. He says, hey, blessed be, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That when we think about who God is and what he's done, we've got to learn to live our lives in response to these truths. Okay, to believe that we have been born again to a living hope, that our eternity has been secured. Okay, when you hear that, when you hear those truths, I hope that does something just inside of you. I hope there's something in your heart that when you truly stop to think about your situation and your circumstances, and you truly start to think about who God is, and just no matter what happens to you, no matter what comes at you, that there's this security that we can have. Man, I hope there's something in you that just springs up and just says, God, hey, there's no other thing for me to do but to worship you. For me to praise you, for me to obey you, to live my life in just response to who you are. Based on who you are and what you've done and what you've said you're going to do, God, I give you my life. I give that to you, God. You are worthy of that. I'm going to live my life just as a sacrifice of praise. God, I lay myself on the altar, Paul would say in Romans 12. And I just offer you my life as a sacrifice because of who he is and what he's done. The fact that he laid down his life for us. Listen, that's the call upon our lives as Christians. To say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that no matter what happens, I know, man, that there's some security, that I'm being protected by the power of God, and no matter what comes my way, he's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. I was just thinking this afternoon, man, what would it look like? All right, what would it look like to be a church that truly lived this way? Man, if there was just no fear, right? If, man, we thought about going out into the world and going back into our communities and just no fear because we just knew, hey, listen, what can the world do to me? And we'd go places like Dubai and the Middle East and Turkey and Paris and work with North African and Middle Eastern immigrants. Just, man, what can they do? My eternity, I'm secure. I'm being protected by the power of God. I mean, we just go full of hope. We have all this hope like within us because we know that the same power that raised Christ from the dead, that power lives within us now. It's available to us. And I mean, we just live our lives in just reckless response and abandonment to the one who gave everything for us. And said, man, if he's going to give it all for us, I'm going to give my life for him. I'm just going to give everything I got in response and just full of confidence, right? Full of confidence that no matter what may come against us, that we can overcome in Christ. Man, wouldn't that be awesome? And I mean, I'm just thinking, here's what I know. It's just that in the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of your circumstances, whatever you're faced with tonight, and listen, I know there's just craziness all in this room, just different things you're going through and just different things that seem to be against you. And I don't want to trivialize any of that. Just in the midst of your circumstances, whatever hardship, whatever pain you may be facing, whatever struggle you're going through, and he says, blessed be the Father. I just want you to know tonight, I want you to leave tonight knowing that there's a Father. Man, as a dad, just like when I see my son hurting in the midst of those hardships and pain, I want to draw him in. I want to get as close as I can. If I can do that as, man, a sinful, so many times evil dad, how much more must God our Father in the midst of that want to just come and just draw us in and just encourage us with this hope? Hey, listen, I know you're hurting. I know it's hard right now. I know you're in pain. I just want you to know tonight that everything's going to be okay. I'm with you. I'm going to walk with you through this. I got you. Man, if you can somehow look ahead, everything's secure. I'm protecting you. My power is protecting you. We're going to walk through this together. And I hope tonight that God would give us faith to believe that. And that we would be a church that says, you know what? Man, let's live our lives just in worship. Let's respond to this God who's so near, so present, so powerful, so worthy. Let's pray.